This is the Radiant Podcast. I'm Sean Cribbs, May 12, 2008, Episode 3. Today we have a short interview from May 1st with Keith Bingman, a longtime Radiant community member. But first, we'll have a few bits of news. Today we welcome Josh French to the core team. Josh has contributed several consistently good patches, including Radiant's own auto test support. Congratulations to Josh. Keep up the good work. I had the opportunity to present about Radiant to this past weekend's Bar Camp Kansas City with very positive reception. If you want to see my slides and notes, go to seancribbs.com and click on weblog. I suspect we'll have another release of Radiant this coming weekend. In fact, I'd like to speed up the release cycle and decrease the amount in each release so we can keep moving forward. This release will include some security fixes that protect us against cross-site request forgery, but the two big features of this release will be HAML and shards. All of the admin view templates have been converted to HAML. More importantly, the shards extension that lets you manipulate the user interface in your extensions will be folded into the core. No more config.extensions equals bracket shards, comma all. Big thanks to the Rails security blog for helping us find the security holes, and to John Long for prepping a lot of the HAML grunt work. Several people have commented that we need some music introducing the podcast, and since I've had trouble picking something that would be appropriate, I'm going to start playing sections of some of my favorite music. To find out the music played in each episode, look in the show notes at radiantcms.org/podcast. And now our interview with Keith Bingman. Hi, Keith.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good. Now, you seem to be one of the most seasoned Radiant community members. What first drew you to Radiant, and how long have you been using it?
I started using Radiant in January 2006, right after it came out, I think. And I've been looking for a content management system, and there weren't any in Rails. I had come not from a programming background, but more from a design and doing content management system setup background. I'd used TextPattern a lot. Radiant seemed to draw a lot of inspiration from TextPattern. Way the tags are set up is very similar. And that was the first thing that drew it to me. My first site that I made with Radiant was probably 7 or 8 months later. Basically just a blog for a friend of mine. And I just like using it. It's great. It's really, really flexible. What more can I say?
So you use Radiant pretty frequently in your work then?
Yeah, I think I've done maybe, I was trying to count 10 sites with Radiant, something like that. So from all sorts of varying just brochure sites to some pretty complicated things, we actually set up a shop using Radiant. Not sure if that was entirely the right decision, but it works very nicely. And we have a lot of extensions that do a whole product catalog. It actually runs the entire product catalog for a seed company with an export module that is sent directly to the printer.
Oh, cool. So do you guys use some kind of a billing system in addition to the your product catalog thing?
No, it's a simple email system.
Okay.
It's a very traditional company, and they weren't really sure what they wanted, if they really wanted to use a web shop. But the son of the owner convinced them to set it up. So we did kind of a slimmed down system, but it works really well. Their sales are up, and customers are happy. So
that's great. Now you say you've done 10 sites, which is probably the most anyone I've talked to has done with Radiant. Do you manage those sites yourself, or do you train your customers to use Radiant?
Most of them I've managed myself. I have 2 or 3 customers that manage them themselves. They tend to be more technical programmer type people, of course. I haven't set them up. You can set Radiant up any way you want, I think. You know, you can make it so it's very user-friendly. You can hide all the code and the snippets and do that with layouts. Or you can expose a little more of that. And so you just have to set it up for the customer the way you want to manage it. I have one that's done by someone who's completely not technical. He's a club owner in Zurich, a nightclub, disco. And he manages his entire calendar with it. He's learned Markdown. He had a MacBook before, so he was a little bit savvy. He did his own flyers and postcards. So it wasn't too hard to teach him. It was a little bit rough at the beginning, And he has a gallery system every week. A photographer comes to the club, takes pictures, and uploads the pictures. I help him out a little bit with that just because it's about 100 pictures per gallery.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that's been a very successful website. That's been online for 2 years now.
That's great.
A year and a half.
Now, you've also contributed back to the community with extensions, and well, before extensions were around, you had some behaviors. Tell me a little bit about your asset manager.
I stole a lot of the code at the very beginning from Mephisto, to be really very honest. I really liked the bucket system that they had. Pretty much all of that code is gone now. It's still based on attachment foo. Recently, I've been trying a variant that actually stores the images in the database and then uses the Radiant caching system. So that's really nice because it lets you do any size you want. You can just set up a size. I haven't quite figured out if I'm going to have the sizes freely editable in the tags or not, but I've got it up and running on my own personal website. And I also did a tagging plugin or extension.
I believe which was called Meta Tags.
Yeah, I think that's what it was called. Yeah, there used to be a conflict between the names. I'm not sure if there still is anymore. So I had to name everything Meta Tags instead of tags because of the Radiant tags themselves.
Yeah, I think we removed that.
This
a while back.
I haven't worked on that one since 6.4 came out, so it's been a long time now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's see. One of your most prominent sites has got to be Bitch Kitty Racing. Tell me a little bit about that site and where it got its name.
That is from one of my really longtime friends that I've known for, 20 years now. He's a car fanatic. He went to school to study car design. He unfortunately graduated the same week that they laid off 40,000 people in Detroit.
Ouch.
Blue-collar design workers. Mm-hmm. So he's been working at a bar for the last couple of years, but he's still obsessed with racing. And apparently a bitch kitty is the one that's the toughest, doesn't necessarily win, but doesn't really ever give up despite his car falling apart or whatever. So that's the origin of the name. He writes a lot about working in a bar. And then on the side, he's got a little video blog, Bitch Kitty TV.
Yeah. So, I've seen some of those. They're pretty, interesting, let's say.
Yeah.
He kind of goes, he starts off with a pretty typical premise, and then he just goes over the edge.
Yeah, that's always John's trade. He always goes about three steps further than you would ever expect. So I was just there in Seattle, and we did a photo shoot for him. So now we're setting up a shop for Bitch Kitty Racing. That's the next step.
What kind of things do you intend to sell?
It's going to be t-shirts and some of his props he's going to try to sell.
Wow.
So we did a photo shoot for the t-shirts. But the response wearing them around Seattle was very good. A lot of people want to buy them. So we'll see.
Well, best of luck in that.
Thank you.
That's so you guys kind of, you author this site together, or is it just primarily the video blog?
No, he writes a blog on there. He authors that all himself. He loves Markdown. He took to that right away. And then one day he actually figured out how to use the Radiant tags. So he does most of that himself. I don't really do too much on that anymore. He figured out one day that Radiant is wildly flexible and he could do whatever he wanted to. So he started, kind of took over. It was good. I liked it. I think he uploads all the pictures. The videos aren't hosted on our site directly. We have them on a service called Rever, which is an ad-based. You get some percentage of the ad revenue.
I see.
So it's just all he has to do is embed a JavaScript on everything. But he has a part called video, and he embeds his JavaScript in that, and then everything else works automatically for him. So he just has to know which parts he needs, and he's got a big whiteboard with all his tags written down in front of his computer.
That's cool. So I want to switch gears a little bit here. That's a really interesting site, but I was wanting to know your opinion, since you've been using Radiant for so long. What's your opinion on its evolution, and where do you see it going in the future, or where would you like to see it go?
I think the one thing that I was thinking about this morning is that the interface is probably looking a little bit dated at this point. I just signed up for Shopify, and that's got a really slick user interface, the back end of the actual application. And it might be nice to do a little bit of fine tuning on that. Mm-hmm. It might be nice to have the assets more integrated. I know that there's a lot of competing asset management systems, but it might be nice to see something, some standard plugin, standard extension, like how the archive extension is delivered, a little bit more mechanical way. I'm not sure if that's a good idea or not.
Okay. Yeah, I believe John has some interface enhancements in the works. He posted some. John Long has some mock-ups of how he'd like the interface to work.
I think I've seen those mock-ups at some point. It's mm-hmm. been a good half a year since he posted those, though. So yeah, that would be nice to see.
Yeah, I agree. I believe he's pretty busy right now, but
yeah, I got that impression that he's very. Yeah, as I have been, I haven't done as much work on Radiant as I would have liked to the last couple months. So,
well, myself included, and that's I guess that's why I started doing the 1 day a week thing working on Radiant, because I was just, we had originally planned to have the Radiant 065 come out in December, believe it or not, and it just came out like last week. So I was pretty frustrated with the pace myself, and I'm hoping that also too we get more people contributing, because we seem more active then.
How many people are on the core team now?
Active people, probably three. We have quite a few inactive people. Mm-hmm. As far as the active people, it's primarily me and John and Mislav. And we also have occasionally Daniel Shepard contributing things, but I haven't really seen anything from him since December. And then there are a bunch of inactive members and less active members. So.
It's very hard to keep active with open source when you have customers breathing down your neck. And
yes.
I think we all know about how that works. So
absolutely. Well, and you know, the other thing with this too is I'm hoping people can use Radiant more in their for-profit projects. Because then we can get contributions back. I know that the two times that I've been most given the most contributions were when I was working on the college website that I did in 2006, and then the Redken project this past winter.
So, yeah, the biggest project that I did for Radiant was unfortunately not able to pull anything out, but the assets system. The new version is almost done. It's actually on GitHub now.
Oh, great.
And I need to start writing some specs for it. I really like that you integrated RSpec into it now. That's always been a weakness for me, is testing. So RSpec seems to be a little bit easier to force myself to do.
Right. And my gateway drug was starting to, RSpec was starting to write my unit test method names with test shoulds underscore something something something, and so being able to switch completely over to RSpec has been really great for me too. So tell me a little bit about you. Back, I guess it was last summer or early in the fall, you contributed some work on internationalization to Radiant. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Oh, well, yeah, I live in Germany. So all of my customers demand to have everything in German. And all Radiant's got a very slim interface. It's not very hard to understand if you're in a foreign language. It is a little bit nicer. have the error messages come in German and such. So John introduced me to the idea of Gibberish, which is a really wonderful plugin, one of the really slim, easy to use. We use it a lot in other things these days. So I sat down one day after the Reboot conference, which is a big conference in Copenhagen. And it was a rainy day. I was stuck in Copenhagen and my flight wasn't for 6 hours. And I translated all of Radiant into gibberish sitting in the hotel lobby. And unfortunately, it hasn't been taken into the trunk, I don't think, has it?
Yeah, I think it is stalled. We got some other translations. But I think that should be probably on the table pretty soon, especially if you're using it a lot and other people need it for their translation.
I've been meaning to ask what the status on that was, because it's really nice to be able to do the different translations. You even had a section that set up the extensions to be translated, which was really, really slick. The gibberish makes it so easy. All you have to have is a YAML file with a few. It wasn't even that many things. It was maybe 80 items that were translated. The ironic thing is I never translated anything. Someone else did the German translation. But I did the whole setup for it. You basically replace every string that's exposed to the user with just a simple Ruby string, and then YAML, or then the gibberish translates it. If there's a default English sentence, and then it translates it into whatever language you have. It's very nice. So,
yeah, I look forward to having that. I know a lot of other CMSs have to tackle this hurdle too, and I'm hoping that with gibberish, it will make it a lot more seamless and less obtrusive.
I think it's the best solution for Radiant, because Radiant, like I said, really doesn't have very much to translate. The biggest hurdle, of course, are the images. A lot of the different ad child and such are images.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be nice if we could get rid of those. But
yeah, I think there was also a push for removing the text from the images.
Just using them as background images or something
right,
like that.
Right, and using CSS. To file it. Well, thank you for your time today, Keith. I'm hoping to see some more stuff from you in the future, and especially that new asset manager. That'll be great.
Yeah, now I need to get working on that. So I have a little bit of time next week, and that's on my plate, so we'll see.
Great. Well, thanks again for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you.